Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're obviously very honored to be opening up the 150th college football season, a week ahead of everybody else. Not just the fact that it's Miami, but the fact that it's Miami and Florida, two of the big three schools in the state of Florida. When you think about the history of college football, the sport may not have been invented in this state, but it was certainly revolutionized in this state. I think you're talking about 11 national championships in less than the last 40 years. That's over a quarter by my math. And to have two of the marquee programs in this state open up the curtains on the 2019 season is a pretty cool thing that we're just excited to be a part of. But you know what I do remember is I do remember that when Miami and Florida and Miami and Florida State and Florida State and Florida, when they played each other, normally whoever won that game, we used to say whoever won the state championship usually had the inside track for the national championship. And that's gone away for whatever reason, but there's no reason why that can't be the rule of law again. And I'm sure Dan Mullen and Willie Taggart, they all feel the same way, and I know we do here.
All right, Manny Diaz talking about the past and hopefully the future of all the programs getting real good again. Honestly, we all got a little spoiled. We all got spoiled. All three schools got spoiled and thought it was pretty normal to get by one game or get by two games and like, all right, we're in really good shape now to win it all and go to the Sugar Bowl or Orange Bowl, whatever bowl you were going to, and have a chance to win the national championship, including what? Florida and Florida State played twice. Florida beat them the second time in the Sugar Bowl. Was there for that one and with the passing game and everything with Spurrier. But it's changed, man. Everybody is working on trying to build their program up. The Canes ended up barely being a 500 team last year. Florida State never got to 500.
Rough year for Florida State.
And, of course, it was the Florida Gators who had been struggling that got a new coach and says, hey, coaching does matter, as he got everything turned around, including his quarterback.
Well, that was the biggest thing. McElwain just couldn't find his guy, and that was the problem. And God, when McElwain, he had the guy there, he didn't coach him up.
Horrible McElwain disaster. Was.
They paid this guy $8 million to leave. Like, they gave him such a payment just to get the hell out of Gainesville. It was horrible. And listen, after last season or midway through last season, people were like, we got to get rid of Florida State. We got to get rid of Willie. Willie's not the guy, this and that. You got to give a guy a little bit of time. McElwain, too, through 2 years, people were like, get this guy the hell out of here.
But the reason everybody's like that is we've all been spoiled with all three of the programs have had really, really good runs throughout. And so you expect it, and you don't understand when you don't have it. And when it gets real bad, people get pretty fired up. So it all starts, man. Part of that tradition starts back up on Saturday night as the Canes and Gators and all the craziness of that one. Can the Canes, who are 7-point underdogs right now, going to have a chance to win that game, or does Florida pound them and continue what they did to Michigan in their last game the year before?
They're coming off a hot end to the season. Ranked 8th in the country, 10th in the country, depending on poll. Like, they're right there. And listen, it is what it is. You know what I mean?
We also had somebody just send in, and they are exactly right. Top 10 event for sure. Probably in the top 5 was the Miami-San Diego Charger overtime game. It was the game of the decades. I mean, it's top handful of games.
It's not even a question that it's a top moment of the OB. Not even a question.
I would also just throw another one in there for the national championship 2-point conversion at the end of the game.
Yep, Nebraska's got to be up there also. That's in there too.
Miami, yes. That was their first championship.
Yeah.
So that's got to be, it's got to be up there. And then you can handpick what the Monday night football game, maybe when the Bears, who
that's got to be there too.
They didn't lose. That's got to be up there.
Yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of Canes games that were a lot of good games, including a Florida State Miami game. There was a bunch of good Florida State Miami games. So,
but how about the last taste that you got in your mouth from the OB and that demolished, what was it, the Virginia game?
Who came in here and just kicked their
ass?
That was
Virginia that had all the tight ends were running like that three tight end offense, and they were all just
one of the worst things I've ever seen.
That wasn't a good way to close it up. But they have had through the years just so many great events. Whatever, you know what? If you really want to talk about Joe Namath making a damn prediction,
right?
As a 14 or 15 point underdog against the Baltimore Colts led by Don Shula.
Shula can't win the big game.
And Namath just went in there. That was
swag.
They had some great Super Bowls. Yeah. They had a bunch of them, too.
Somebody texted 1965 Miami High versus Gables, largest attendance for high school game in the state of Florida.
That could have been. That's a Larry Bluestein special back then. But he's talked about some of the huge crowds on some of the original high schools and back then. And how good. I caught, honestly, I go back to Jackson and Northwestern was the original. Of course, Jackson's no longer. Northwestern's had their moments, but Jackson hasn't. But, boy, the Jackson-Northwestern games used to be, they were crazy. That was great stuff.
Someone texted and went to all the 84 Dolphin games, was a UM student from 84 to 88. Best game in the OB I saw, Bears-Dolphins Monday night game, no question.
Yeah.
Stadium was alive that night.
Well, it should have been, because guess what? They didn't lose the rest of the year.
Right.
Right? They were that close to going undefeated.
Wow.
Right?
This is, I mean, the moments. New England A.J. Dewey mud game against the Jets.
Oh, yeah, jeez.
Miami's lost to Maryland. Like, even a lot of these things. People are just texting in all these games. All these games.
Yeah. But that's the greatness
of
the Orange Bowl.
That just is a fart in the wind now. Poof. Gone.
So we were out in California going, that Coliseum, man, it's had some great events. And I go, yeah, it has. The L.A. Coliseum's had a lot of football, but not even close to the Orange Bowl. They went, what? We're not even close. We've had a zillion Super Bowls. We've had Orange Bowls that were unbelievable for national championships. Mm-hmm. And we had a friggin' UM team that didn't lose at home for how many years?
I mean, a 58-game winning
whatever
streak.
That is. And
so
then
six, almost 10 years?
And the Dolphins were undefeated at the Orange Bowl. I mean, they were undefeated for the season, but one of the greatest teams of all time. Like, it's not even close.
How about
like,
Pinecrest Dave Texan, Notre Dame 1989, Tiger Clark's pick six before the half, one of the largest OB moments I've ever lived.
Oh, that was, by the way, that Notre Dame-Miami game. That place used to actually shake to the point you're going,
right.
Is this thing going to hold up? Because it was stuffed with people. And
Van Halen's Monsters of Rock Tour in 87 at the OB. The stadium was swaying back and forth.
Really?
Like, there were so many concerts there. We're not even sporting events. Concerts there. And the Rolling Stones at the OB.
I know Michael Jackson was there.
Michael Jackson? I mean, think about that.
Yeah, they had some concerts. Yeah, and nothing to show for that thing, man.
Nothing.
You couldn't put up a friggin' you couldn't spend $100,000.
Didn't they say there was going to be a museum?
Yes.
Wasn't there supposed to be a museum?
And it never
there?
Went up. And to me, Dade County dropped the ball. Think about it. One of the most historic things outside of some of the Cuban buildings, the Freedom Tower, that we have. It really is. You're going, Joe, come on, don't put. I go, no, I'm dead serious. Tell me the Orange Bowl, you go back and all the stuff, nothing. They spent all that money on the spaceship, yeah, and they couldn't stick something on the side of it,
yep,
that could have connected to going in or off the side.
West end zone underneath used to snow rust flakes when the stadium vibrated. I loved it. 89 Miami Notre Dame night game in the OB, Rocket Ishmael.
That was a good one.
WWE in 1984, Superfly Snuka jumps off the top ropes on Big John Studd. Like, these are the
come on.
Right, these are the things. He's right. UM Oklahoma, Sebastian runs out of the stagecoach on fire. Like, this is what happened.
Yeah.
And now there's a Marlins Park there.
I'm not going to, it's not time to take shots at the ballpark. It's there, and
but it is on hollowed ground. That ground
but just
is
look at it. Just look at it. Like it might be cursed. It might be cursed forever.
Maybe. I don't want to say that, but that's it.
I mean, you just couldn't put something up there.
Someone said, wasn't there a Monday Night Football game the night that they announced John Lennon died?
Yeah, I played in that game.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
I didn't know they announced it at the OB. Mm-hmm. Don't forget Flipper.
I didn't play for Flipper. That is weird, though, when somebody, you're warming up one day and they go, hey, I got to tell you something, kid. I go, what? They go, did you know there was a dolphin in a swimming pool there? And I go, no way. I go, like Flipper? They go, yeah, like Flipper. They put it in there. And,
right.
And I go, there's no way. And they go, yeah, way. I go, it's too friggin' hot down here. How the hell did they do it?
Monsters of Rock, 1989, Metallica and Van Halen. The Soul Bowl, Jackson and Northwestern.
Yeah, see, man, you could go on and on. Stop.
The great memories from the OB. How about the Dolphins-Eagles Monday night game? You talk about all the time with Jaws. Couldn't get a snap off in the closed end of the stadium.
Shula didn't know who to scream at. Screaming at his team, screaming at the officials, screaming on the field. He just needed to scream at somebody about it.
84 AFC Championship game, Miami-Pittsburgh. 45-28
yeah,
final score.
That was a good one.
Someone just said, I have goosebumps from the segment.
Yeah, man.
Any Miami-Florida State game in the Orange Bowl. Can't describe the feeling to anyone who's never been to one of those games what that stadium was like for Miami-Florida State.
No one will ever understand.
Right.
By the way, you used to get loud, and think about it. The one end was open, and it got crazy loud. The one end was open.
Scott Corey, 1999, missed a net on his dirt bike off a ramp. I'll never forget that moment from the Orange Bowl.
Oh, my God.
For one of the dirt bike monster truck things.
Remember that guy die, or did he get?
I don't know.
Something bad happened, if I'm not mistaken.
Someone just said 58 game win streak, almost 10 years. Can't make that up. It's college football.
And by the way, it was just
right.
A small little
That's
thing in
was.
The corner. You got look at what's the number at, honey? Over there in the corner.
Someone said the victory tour, Jackson 5, UCLA Miami edge ran for 290
oh,
plus.
Oh yeah, that was.
But the 58 game win streak just keeps coming up. Boom.
One
boom,
of the greatest
boom, boom,
college football games right? By an individual.
Not going to see that again, folks.
UCLA shootout. Games. UCLA had the great team.
All right. It's College Football Report brought to you by the FIU Panthers football team. Panther Pride is here. Get your season tickets now at 305 FIU game or visit tickets.fiusports.com. FIU Miami at Marlins Park this year.
So I guess
just to turn that whole thing around.
I guess Brock Berlin, his game, that comeback, which by the way is
it's got to be the greatest game of his career. If not,
no, his, but it's not. It's not making obviously the top 10 of all time at the OB. But he's a big part, man. Plus, he played for both teams. And at one point during the game, he had everybody mad at him. The Gator fans mad at him. The Canes fans were booing him, wanted him out of the game.
Someone said the dirt biker did die. The dirt bike guy.
I remember that story.
Rest in peace. We didn't mean to bring that up. Miami-Notre Dame. Sebastian threw the Notre Dame mascot off the top of the Orange Bowl. What? Wait, did I miss that?
A lot of crazy stuff. A lot of crazy, crazy
Ray
stuff.
Finkel's comeback. No, sir, that was a movie.
How about somebody yelling?
It wasn't the OB.
How about somebody yelling at you that the Chicago Bears game
was right? Someone was like, "No, yeah. Zach, you're wrong."
Yeah, no.
That Monday Night Football game was a Joe Robbie. No, sir, it wasn't.
No.
I might have only been 7 or 8 years old then, but
I
was there.
They were wrong.
You Wide right wrong. Two, my first U.S. sporting event ever. It's not a bad first event to go to.
There were a bunch of them, both places, both locations. We got to go to break here. We've got a lot more stuff to get to. I didn't mean to get all carried away, but
it's awesome though.
Brock Berlin's coming on at 9 o'clock here. 33-10 in the third. God,
game is over.
Went shotgun. Went to a freaking shotgun, and Brock goes, "Now I'm comfortable, Coach." We'll track old Brock down. 28 unanswered points. Cannot make that up.
Nightmare.
Man. Cannot make that up.
Nightmare.
Boy, when Big Mo gets going, isn't it a great part of sports? When the Big Mo goes, like New England against Atlanta, and you can't stop it, nothing you do, your team's and the other team has got demons in their head, man. Nothing you can do. Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, no, Zach. Here we go. I guess you're going to tell me that OJ was at it again last night and the trollers were out to get him, man. What'd you get?
All right, you guys ready to hear from OJ?
Of course.
Here? You ready for it?
Yeah, we're going to piss some more people off.
Hey,
go ahead.
Me, yours truly. Well, I'd like to start by giving my condolences to the family and friends of Cedric Benson. We lost him in a motorcycle accident this week. I didn't know Cedric, but I sure admired his game in great seasons he had with Cincinnati. Well, this is the week we draft in my fantasy league, and there's some apprehension because everybody's still worried about Ezekiel and Gordon, thinking about Le'Veon Bell last year. I don't think you have to worry that much. You got 2 more weeks. I know Ezekiel was a track guy, so he stays in shape year-round. I'm pretty sure Gordon probably does, too. And don't forget, Emmitt Smith missed all training camp and had an MVP season. I missed all training camp one year, showed up the day before the first game, and I ended up leading the league in rushing. So they still got 2 weeks for them to get out there. Finally, guess who went to camp finally? Antonio Brown. Finally ending all of that stress and drama that he's putting his teammates and the management through there. I think the only people that were smiling about that was probably Big Ben Roethlisberger and the front office of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm just saying, incidentally, don't dog me because of my hat. It's 105 degrees out here. Take care.
Uh-oh. I just thought of a couple coming.
Here it comes.
All right.
Let us have it.
All right, so the tweet said, a little apprehensive about my fantasy draft this week. Hashtag NFL, hashtag fantasy football, and here are the replies. The first one comes from Jimmy's Famous Seafood. It says, OJ, our chef is looking for a new boning knife. Any advice where he should purchase one? People using this as an advertising platform here. I bet Nicole was apprehensive right before you stabbed her. Jeez. What's harder, fantasy draft selections or criminal jury selections?
Ugh.
Are you going to take a stab at a Brown? Antonio, I mean.
Horrible, horrible. Horrible.
That's bad. Oh, I do feel a little dirty right now. I feel a little dirty. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm dirty.
You're my number one pick for fantasy wife and waiter murderers league. You seem to have forgotten, but you murdered your wife and a waiter. OJ, don't worry. If you wind up drafting the wrong players, you can always cut them during the season and pick up new guys.
Oh, no.
OJ, what are your thoughts on Popeye's new chicken sandwich? People are saying it's better than Chick-fil-A's.
Wow. did he respond to that? I want to see if he responded to that one.
Wondering if I could get your opinion on how one handles stress and drama with someone named Brown. I'm just saying.
God.
Jeez. Feel dirty?
Dirty.
So dirty.
Dirty.
OJ, do you worry about anything? I mean, you murdered people and walked. What actually worries you anymore? Juice, I saw your Bronco in the crime museum in Pigeon Forge. I looked for you in the back seat, but you weren't there.
AC was, though. AC was sleeping.
Someone put up a poll. What will OJ do first? Find the real killers or win his fantasy league?
Someone just texted in, these are the worst ones yet.
At least you still have a head to put that hat on to. Nicole and Ron don't, thanks to you and your knife.
No! No! Soap. Oh, my God. I need soap. Brutal.
Damn, Juice. Those moves need some work. Might want to take a stab at some cardio. You really need to pick Jay Cutler.
Oh,
get it? Cutler?
I got it.
And then finally, OJ, I heard Ron Goldman is a sleeper pick in your league. Oh. Literally. Thoughts?
I just want OJ to respond to a couple.
Just a couple, right?
Just one or two. Actually, the chicken one I would want because that's actually an
important thing. Oh, man. All right.
That might have been the worst ones yet. I did feel a little dirty laughing at those. Hollywood doesn't feel dirty at all. He just reads them. Who cares?
When he gets those responses,
I would love to know, like, does he read them and chuckle? Does he just go by them like they don't exist? How many responses does he get when he sends something out? How many on average? Hollywood.
So like this video, Joe, for example, this has almost 500,000 views so far. Came out 14 hours ago. There's 1,300-plus responses, almost 800 retweets, and 5,600 likes.
Crazy.
So he's getting a lot of views and traction here.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Good God.
He stays relevant, man.
He's trying.
I mean, people are going to go, yeah, idiots like you, help him.
No, somebody said the OJ stuff is not funny. It's stupid.
Yeah.
And then the next text is, who's your favorite musician, OJ? / horrible.
No, people are bad.
I love the OJ segment. This is the best OJ segment to date. Two straight texts.
And then we got people that send stuff about how disgusting it is. You've lost listeners because of that. It's in bad taste. Why do you give this murderer a platform? Right. We get all that. We get a little bit of everything.
There's been some underrated responses over the past couple of days. I like the OJ, you're a murderer, hashtag Jets, during the Patriots one yesterday. I thought it was pretty funny.
It makes no sense. That's great.
You really need to pick Jay Cutler is a good
Cutler's
one.
Cutler's a
that's
good one.
That's creative.
That's good.
That is creative, right?
That's good.
And then Ron Goldman being a sleeper pick.
Oh,
also creative. Bad.
God, I feel like
mean-spirited,
me.
But yeah. Creative.
Oh, Wood, and you live for it.
Oh,
I mean, my phone, like, OJ, he's back.
Yeah, I don't have much going on in my life, so when those pop up.
No, man, the OJ thing really gets you. You've been loyal to the juice.
Right.
The original juice.
Someone just texted and said, I'm only here for the OJ segment.
With all that being said, I pray I never meet him because he scares the crap out of me.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, he does.
Oh,
man. I'm truly afraid of him.
Truly afraid of him.
Like, if he ever got wind of this and asked us to stop, we would stop immediately.
How about when he got out and all the different states told him,
don't come here.
Florida said, don't come here.
I'm going to go to retire.
He goes, I can go anywhere. No, don't come to our state, please. Right. Stay out of our state. We had you once down here in
right.
South Florida.
It's done.
We're going to pass.
We're
Remember
good.
He had those dirty cards?
Oh, yeah. The direct
and he got busted.
Cards.
He got busted for having all the dirty card machines.
He had 100 of them in his house. Why not? Why pay for cable when you got that, man. Right? Someone just texting these OJ tweets aren't funny.
They're
funny. Bleeping hilarious. You guys are killing it.
Oh, I thought somebody's getting ready to blast.
No, they were happy.
Somebody got creative.
That was very, very OJ, creative. Have you found a Colombian killer? I mean, kicker for your fantasy league.
Oh, God.
We even have some responders to us.
Yeah, all right, well, listen,
OJ versus Johnny Manziel, go.
Johnny Manziel's doing commercials.
John
right
Manziel, get it right.
John Manziel.
John. He's professional now. Selling insurance.
Let me tell you something. If he didn't get in the XFL, which I think he will, but if he doesn't.
I mean, he should, right? I mean, he's not playing the XFL. It's over. It's done. He's irrelevant. The XFL needs Johnny
Manziel.
What
is Johnny Manziel, like 35 now?
Nah, he's definitely not young.
Nah, I'm just kidding.
I know he's not that 30s, old. Right?
I don't want somebody to respond. I know he's not that old.
He's got to be 30, right?
No.
No, not
30? By the way, if he does play in the XFL, no. Joe's not allowed to watch because all the ripping he's done of this guy. I know everyone's going to want to see
I'll
him
watch
play
it.
In that
yeah.
league, but if he plays, Joe can't watch.
Wasn't he in the CFL when we
by
had
the way,
like 9 o'clock on Fridays?
You won't have to worry about me watching the XFL.
Even if John Manziel is playing.
John J. Manziel.
Landry Jones. Remember Landry Jones, the quarterback that was the Steelers' backup? He signed. He's the first XFL quarterback.
Congratulations.
They're
great.
Having a quarterback draft. There's just going to be 10 quarterbacks on a list, and the teams get to pick the quarterbacks. That's the draft.
I'm guessing going to wait to see who gets cut, right?
Yeah, I'm guessing.
All the releases and then for the quarterback and the camp quarterbacks and try to sign those guys. All right, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more. Solomon Wilcott's going to join us. Host and analyst for Pro Football Focus. I want to talk to him about Pro Football Focus. You know, our guys all come out now in the paper, and everybody gets a great preseason, regular season. This guy did this. I want to ask him as a former player some things about Pro Football Focus. By the way, is a lot of people don't know, is owned by Chris
Collinsworth. Yeah.
He owns that. And so anyway, we'll talk Solomon about that. And Brock Berlin's going to join us at 9 o'clock. So we'll talk to Brock.
You were right, Manziel's 26.
Is he?
Wow.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
.560 The Joe presents the Riptide Music Festival, powered by Ford Broward County's 2019 signature event. It's coming to Fort Lauderdale Beach November 23rd and 24th. This year's event is headlined by multi-platinum recording artist The Killers, also appearing The 1975, Real Big Fish,
fuel Soul Asylum and more. Hollywood, who's this on the music once again? You told me and I forgot already.
This is Silver Sun Pickups.
Silver Sun Pickups. Also, a limited number of early bird two-day GA tickets go on sale tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. at WQAM.com for just $59. And also a limited number of two-day early bird VIP tickets will be on sale for $99. Early bird tickets are on sale till Labor Day or until supplies last. It's Riptide Fest powered by Ford. You can get all the details right here at WQAM.com.
It's all killer, man. It's all killer stuff going on here. You got a lot of stuff.
Yep.
A lot of stuff. By the way, as we move on here, we got special guests right now.
We're waiting for Solomon to call in, right? Correct,
all right,
Hollywood?
We're going to have Solomon join us here. Okay. In just a few minutes here. We've got all kinds of stuff going on, of course. We got Thursday night. We got the Miami Dolphins and Jacksonville in a third preseason game, and Saturday, the big one. The big one as the University of Miami and UM goes about 3 hours. And
They're on a bus.
Gainesville got about an hour and a half.
Yeah, they're on a bus, so I would give them 4 hours.
And we will find out what both teams look like. It'll be a good jump start for either team. Either team that wins that, if Florida looks dominant, it'd be a great start to their season. If the Canes can pull off an upset, it would be unbelievable for them to be a great job by the coaches,
right,
to get all those guys ready, considering all the changes that they've made in the coaching staff and in the style and new offense and same defense.
Imagine the hype, by the way, if Manny Diaz's first game ever as head coach against Florida, the Florida Gators, in this rivalry that doesn't come a lot, and he beats Florida in an upset game. That's a huge start for Manny Diaz.
Yes.
And this Canes team and the whole fan base and everybody. It would be big. I mean, it's a huge win for Florida also if they win, because it's obviously just the start of the season. It's a rivalry game. We spoke to Manny, and Manny talked about recruiting, the recruits being in the stands, not on the sidelines for this game. There'll probably be a lot there for this, right in the middle of the state. Listen, it's a big game for both programs. It's going to be a big loss for one of these teams also. Whether the Gators lose or Miami lose, still going to be a decent loss.
Somebody's going to be disappointment, right, either team. Even if the Canes lose, they will be disappointed knowing that they have a chance. And find out, man, who's ready to go and who gets sloppy and who turns the ball over. Do we have a hat trick of turnovers by either team? I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a fun Saturday night to at least get college football going.
Week zero.
And by the way, the great thing about college football, or the bad thing about college football, there is no preseason game. Every game counts. You play a North Dakota State and you lose to them, it's a loss, and it's a bad one. And, you know, you better know. And there's a lot of teams playing really good games. There's a bunch of ACC games. There's two or three ACC games going on the first week of the season. We jump right into your own conference. So, yeah.
Would you rather start with the cupcake or start with this? And when I mean cupcake, I don't mean no offense.
If I was the athletic director.
Or a school like that.
If I was the athletic director, I would have picked FAU or FIU. I don't want to play Division II schools, but I would have handpicked somebody that would have been. I would have picked Boca up in Boca or gone
FAU.
Down to FIU, yeah, and done it.
All right, we're going to jump out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline right now. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Host and analyst for Pro Football Focus, the NFL, and NFL on Sirius XM Radio, Solomon Wilcots joins us right now. Solomon, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Guys, I am doing great. And, Joe, it's good to be back on with you.
Thank you, Solomon. You too, man. Gosh, you stay busy. You're doing a lot of things. We'll get into all of it. The Pro Football Focus thing, you and I talked a little bit about this before. It's really interesting because our guys do grades. As soon as they come out, they grade the guys. They got it the next day, and they're in the paper about who played well and who didn't play well. And then when I'm around the players, especially the line, offensive and defensive, they bitch the most about Pro Football Focus because they claim they don't know what our assignments are. When I passed a guy on, I didn't get beat. The other guy was supposed to take him. We ran a game. That wasn't my hole to get. I didn't get blocked. I got blocked the way I was supposed to go. What do you say to that? Is it perfect? Do they have it down? Talk about what goes on at your end.
I think we'd be honest if we said that nothing is perfect, but when you think about it, Joe, you played in this league. Opponents get the same tape that we get. And so the opponent is also grading and evaluating players on the other team when we have to put together a scheme, for instance, against another team. How accurate is the opponent when they're taking a look at our team and they're getting ready to play us and they're trying to decide how to attack us or how they could be most productive? And ask yourself, how accurate, based on the tape, is the opponent? Because when the Eagles were studying the Patriots and they used some of the Pro Football Focus data and they end up throwing a touchdown pass to Nick Foles, the quarterback, for what really proved to be a game-winning play against one of the greatest dynasties in the history of our sport, you know, you have to ask companies like the Philadelphia Eagles, how valuable is the tape? You and I both know we always say the eye in the sky don't lie. And now we have players saying, well, they don't know this. Well, they don't know that. Yeah. Well, you and I both know it may not tell everything, but it tells almost everything.
You know, I was shocked last year when we were talking about Pro Football Focus with Adam Gase, and the Miami Dolphins used Pro Football Focus for certain things that they couldn't get for breakdowns of third downs and second and certain situations. I didn't realize you guys do that kind of stuff for all the teams or just certain teams?
All 32 teams are now buying the data that Pro Football Focus is producing because we do grade every player on every play, not to mention all the scenarios, what we call situational football. How many times do they line up with 11 personnel and a strong right from the 20-yard line going inside the red zone? And what do they run predominantly with that personnel grouping in that situation? You can narrow it down. That's where computers have helped us. It's crunched the numbers. It narrows down the possibilities, and that's really all that it does.
Wow.
It is highly predictive. As we all know that we're creatures of habit, Joe. You know this. Football teams are creatures of habit. Very few of them have the ability to break the tendency unless they know it's a tendency.
Yeah, I was just going to – just a follow-up to all this stuff. What kind of guys are you finding to do these jobs? Are these
– smart young kids.
Yeah.
They're smart. We've got former coaches. We've got former players. We have former scouts all around the country who we make sure that they have the tape. Some of them are good enough they can grade live by watching the games, and then they go back and – obviously, they're going to go back and watch the tape and grade again. You know, this is the same stuff that coaches do after every game. You remember when we played, you'd come in on a Monday or Tuesday after play the game on Sunday, and your coaches tell you you did well or didn't do well because they graded every single play. Coaches have to do that in the NFL. That's where we're at.
Solomon, I know that this has you really can't grade this or any of the smart guys underneath camp, but you've been around football and the NFL for a pretty long time. You ever seen any kind of story like this Antonio Brown helmet story before?
No, I haven't. This is one that sort of puzzles me because last I checked, there are a lot of players who would prefer to maybe play in the helmet they've used also over the last 10 years. I heard Tom Brady say that, the helmet he had been using, he's won four championships in it. But you don't see him not showing up for work because of it. You don't see him, grabbing headlines because of it. He's trying to handle it through back channels, and he's prepared to move on. Why Antonio Brown is, staking his flag in the ground on this one, I have no idea. He's on a new team. I think he should be focused in helping them to win games, and everything else is secondary to that.
Solomon, I want to ask you why we're rolling here about the Miami Dolphins and the quarterback situation, one of two jobs still wide open, Washington and Miami. What do you think happens? How would you play this out between Fitzpatrick and Rosen?
If all things are even, I'm playing the younger guy. Because you know what you got in Fitz. And I love Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I'm sure all the guys in that huddle, all the guys in that locker room loves him. Because he has such a charismatic personality. He makes coming to work fun. And as you well know, Joe, that's not easy to do in the NFL. And so that's why he wins over every locker room he's ever been in. However, you know what you have in him. Even if he does become your starter, you know he's not the future. And they're going to have to find out what Josh Rosen is about.
Yes.
And I think you have to allow him an opportunity to play. You got to allow him an opportunity to develop and improve. And only by doing that, by the end of the season, they need this question answered. Is he our quarterback of the future or not? And if not, then who is? And so you've got to, to me, I think you let Josh Rosen start, but only if he's equal and only if he gives you a chance to win, because I don't think you sacrifice winning on Sundays just to give Josh Rosen a look. He's got to prove he can go out and win. And if he falters, you can always fall back on Fitzpatrick, but at least you will have completed your evaluation and you know that you're going to enter the offseason looking for a quarterback. One way or another,
right,
that question is going to have to be answered.
Solomon, I know you do great things. We love bringing you on all the time, and you're doing great things for the people out there. Tell me a little bit more about Sideline Sickle Cell, the campaign that you are spearheading right now.
Oh, man, it's great. You know, sickle cell disease is, it's an inherited disease, as you guys well know, and it plagues minority communities and athletes and entertainers and people of all walks of life and keeps them from really being able to live out an active lifestyle. So we're going to host a sickle cell community town hall meeting this Saturday on August 24th from 2 to 3:30 p.m. at South Regional Broward College Library. It's going to be on the first floor, and so it's going to be in Pembroke Pines. We would love for people to come out in the community. Emmaus Life Sciences, they have brought a new drug that has been approved by the FDA. It's called Endari. It's the first drug to be approved by the FDA for sickle cell in the last 20 years. But a lot of people who suffer from this dreaded disease don't know about the new innovative technologies and treatments that they have at their disposal. So we want to interface and interact with the community there in Pembroke Pines on Saturday, August 24th from 2 to 3:30 p.m. to make sure they have all the information needed so that they can help us sideline sickle cell for good.
Solomon, always great having you, man. Really appreciate you coming on. Never gets old with you. Always great talking to you. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Joe. Take care now.
All right. That was Solomon Wilcutts, by the way. It is this Saturday from 2 to 3:30 p.m. at the South Regional Broward College Library in Pembroke Pines. I just got word that we're ready to go for our next guest coming up here at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. Brock Berlin will be ready to ride.
The great comeback.
Right, right.
The great comeback.
I don't know.
I'll bet you he remembers that like yesterday.
I can imagine.
Right?
I can.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.